Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Here we go. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the OC, bitches. Is that a good one?
Yeah, I like it. You know, you're changing it up every time. I think it's awesome. Welcome right. to the OC, bitches. Season 1, episode 21 today.
The goodbye girl. Yeah. The goodbye girl. Oh my gosh, I love this episode so much. I really do.
Yeah, I cried a few times. Shocking. I know.
You're such a crier. You're a little toughy, but you're a crier.
I know. What is up with that? It's. I'm kind of discovering. No, I knew that. I cry at like commercials sometimes. So yes, I'm a crier. The synopsis this episode, this week. Yeah, sure. Another week, another party in Newport. This time honoring Caleb as Riviera Magazine's Man of the Year. Sandy makes an unethical choice to protect Kirsten when Caleb puts him in the middle of an illegal situation. Ryan and Teresa rekindle their relationship, but there are tons of questions from everyone on how they're going to make it work. And when Anna announces that she is leaving Newport to go back to her home in Pittsburgh, Seth feels guilt-ridden that it's because of him.
It was also directed by Patrick Norris. You guys got to meet him. And written by that guy, Josh Schwartz.
Who's that?
Right. Also, this is a reference to the Neil Simon movie with Richard Dreyfuss and Marsha Mason, The Goodbye Girl, by the same name. I don't know. We'll have to ask Josh about that one. But we do have a real special guest today.
We sure do.
Should we bring her in?
Yeah, please.
She's one of the Goodbye Girls. Our guest today is the beautiful and talented Navi Rawat. She is a graduate of NYU Tisch School of the Arts, best known to our audience as Teresa Diaz, Ryan's childhood friend and ex-girlfriend. You may also know her from Numbers as the math prodigy Amita Ramanujan. Did I say that right?
You did. And
just to name a few. It's been a moment since we've seen you, and we are so happy that you've joined us to catch up and chat all things OC. Welcome, Navi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, it is so good to see you.
You guys too.
It's been so long.
Navi. Hi, Melissa.
It is so great to see you.
It's great to see you guys too.
This is the awesomeness of this podcast, reconnecting with people that, gosh, we haven't seen in so many years. How many years has it been since the end? You did 13 episodes of this show.
I did, yeah.
Pretty crazy. It feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
I mean, I haven't seen you guys, but I do see other cast members very regularly, believe it or not.
Really? Like who? Oh,
like Adam Brody.
Oh, well, we know who that is.
We live in the same area, I believe, in Los Angeles.
So okay.
I run into him at the grocery store with our children. Always chaotic and very funny. So.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
That's great.
No, you mentioned you got married. You have a child. You have children. Tell us about one.
I think all of us have one daughter, right?
Yeah. Yes. How old's your daughter?
Yeah. She is, she just turned 7.
What? Oh, no way. Yeah. My daughter's turning 7 in October. We have the same age.
Oh, really?
Daughters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so she's starting first grade?
Yes.
In September? Is. Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Can we ask her name or is it private?
Her name's Grayson.
Oh, okay. Oh, I love that name. That's so cute.
Doesn't Adam have two girls as well?
He's a girl and a boy, I think.
Oh,
I only know his oldest daughter. And her and Grayson have played together before. It was cute.
That is cute. She's younger, though. I think she's a year or two younger than
she is. She is. But yeah.
That's so sweet. And he has a son as well. Who's a baby. I don't know how old he is, though. It's just so crazy. Like I was saying, like a lifetime ago, we all have kids and families and whatnot. And it's just like so crazy to be watching these episodes back and seeing everything and how young we all were.
Yeah.
It's just tripping me out. But you, so you did 13 episodes of the show. Do you like, I mean, I know we're going to get into this episode and I just have to put it out there that watching you and Ben together, like the chemistry and everything else, like I always tend to root for you and for Teresa and Ryan, because I thought you guys were so awesome together and you just felt like that connection. I know you guys like were childhood loves and all of that, and you just really feel it on screen. And I just wanted to say, I think you do an awesome job. And I always, well, at least what we've been watching, I keep rooting for you and Ryan, or for Teresa and Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
I remember you having just you, and yes, watching it back for me as well. You're very, very present. And I remember you're such a talented actress. And I didn't know that you went to Tisch School, which is a pretty prestigious school, and you actually and you studied. And also, we found out that Carmack went there as well. You guys, did you guys know that? Did you talk about it then?
No, I did not know that. And I also went through Tisch. I came into Tisch as a sophomore academically, so I went through very quickly. I graduated with a double major in 3 years.
Wow.
So I'm a, yes. I'm like a total nerd. So. You didn't get to see that in this show, but I am. So I didn't know that. No, and a lot of people I meet now who went to Tisch, I was there at the same time, but we just never met each other. Cause...
So you, so and when did you come out to LA? You got, obviously you got that bug on the, early. Were you doing acting as a teenager, or when did that happen for you?
I did it as a teenager, and then I went to NYU. I got into NYU with a scholarship, and I and then one of my acting. One of my voice teachers actually recommended that I go out to LA. And she said, I think that it'd be better for you, because the other option was staying in New York and doing a lot of theater. And she said, you know, it's going to be hard for you to be cast because you're ethnic. And a lot of the plays that you'd be right for, like Chekhov and all the you know, Shakespeare stuff, she's like, you're not going to get cast, because it was a very different time back then. And she's like, but in LA, I think you would do well right now. So I listened to her, and, I'm grateful I did.
So well, thank goodness diversity's in. My goodness.
Oh, true.
What was your first acting job when you came out here?
Actually, the first job I booked was a movie that went straight to Sundance.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that was my first job. But then my first kind of big break, I guess, was I played a recurring character on 24.
I remember that.
Yeah, I do too, actually. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. I got to meet like Dennis Hopper, who was one of my like idols. So it was very exciting and fun, and it's good.
Very cool.
Yeah. And so then you got to do an episode of Fastlane.
Yes, and actually that's where I met Misha for the first time, believe it or not. And Joni.
Were you in the same episode?
No, they were Misha? No, she was in the one right before me. So when I came in to do my table read, she was there shooting her episode, and we met briefly. And that was the first time I met her.
That's so funny. And then so you guys remembered each other once you were on the OC.
Yeah, and then I see her still, too. Sometimes I run into her.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You just run into everybody.
I kind of do.
That's really funny. And then so how did the OC come up? How did the audition come up? And do you remember that process? Or? Well,
this is a very funny. I'll never actually forget this story, because at the time, I think I was 23. And my manager at the time, I got the call very last minute. And it was down at the studio in Manhattan Beach. And she was like, don't go on this audition. I was like, why? And she's like, oh, you're 23. You're there to play 17. You're never going to book this part. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. Don't, not ridiculous, but she just advised me. She's like, I wouldn't do this one. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to listen to you.
Good for you.
I had a good relationship with Patrick Rush already, and he tried to cast me on Dawson's Creek. And so I was like, no, I'm going to go. And I'm very glad I did.
Right. So you got the part, and then you fired your manager?
No, actually, I didn't fire her until years later. Yeah, we parted ways, I wouldn't say.
Right.
That's happened to me before. There are times when an audition comes up and your representatives say, pass on it. But you might do the audition and you don't get the part, but then they write something for you later, and then that role leads to something else. That's happened to me many, many times, because I used to say no is kind of a, even just for the act of just doing the audition itself, I think it's important for actors, because some people, I don't always like it, but I think it's something that we have to be proficient in and try to enjoy. So
yeah.
I think it's, saying yes is always a good thing. It's never hurt. I mean, unless it's just like, I'm not going to do this well because you gave it to me this morning. But sometimes those do hurt you, as we found out from Adam Brody.
I suck at auditioning. I mean, I think the only things I've ever booked from an actual audition were The OC and my first movie, The Last Kiss. And everything, anytime I've auditioned, I don't get it, because it's so hard. It's really hard to be in that room and
nail it. It's a different skill set, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not a fan. No,
and now we have to have our home studios, and we have to be able to, it's doing self-auditions sometimes, instead of going in with a casting director and you're in and out in 10 minutes, maybe five, I can take like 5 hours because I want to do it over and over and over again. And it's a huge commitment. And my husband usually is the one helping me. And it's like, he's like, oh, really? Do I have to? So you mentioned your voice. Are you, because of Tish, did you do musical theater? Are you a singer as well that we didn't
know? No, just in the shower. no, I don't sing at all. But I do a lot of voiceover work now. So yeah,
I saw that for Moen.
And other, yeah, that was the first big campaign I booked. But yeah, so I've been doing a lot of that.
That's fun.
Yeah, it is. I love doing it, actually. Really, it's so such a different thing than being in front of the camera. I find it very freeing and fun. And I've been doing it for like 10 years now. So it's really great.
Well, you have a beautiful voice. And
Thank you.
As a mother raising a young child, having these things that don't make our, force us to have time commitments away from our kids, those are great things, like doing a podcast, doing voiceovers, right?
Yeah, that's actually why I got into it, Melinda, because I was raised primarily by a nanny, so I didn't want to do that to my daughter.
Right.
So I wanted to be present, especially in the early years.
For sure. That's so nice to be able to do that. I did the same. I didn't work for the first couple of years at all. And then, but it's just because being present with your kids is everything.
So
that's awesome. I love we all share that common mother-daughter thing. It's very sweet.
Yeah, it's great. It is.
Do you remember what it was like being on set or working with Ben, or any like anecdotes like that? Do you have any memories that come to mind?
I do. I remember when I got this job, I was very I was surprised. And then I remember I was very intimidated coming in. I was nervous. And, you know, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, what am I getting into here? But then it was so lovely because you guys had a wonderful mix of, you know, younger actors, but then older actors too. And everyone was just so nice and so welcoming to me that I really felt very comfortable very quickly. And I remember I loved working with Peter, especially, because he's so funny and he was just great. And I feel like I learned a lot from him. And then Ben was wonderful too. You know, Ben, I felt, really took it seriously, and he was a great acting partner for me, for sure.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed working with him.
I root for I love the storyline, put it that way. If we were only to focus on Ryan in Newport and not Chino, because I love that it's still there, and it brings up a lot of, it just makes it more texturized, you know, with much more texture and more layers. And also, it's a funny thing to me. Chino's only like 45 minutes away, maybe an hour with traffic. You know, it's not that it's that far away, but I guess it, you know, the metaphor for what he was living back then and what he's doing now. I really love that we explored that this first season, that it's still there and it's pulling at his heartstrings, and you're there to represent that.
Yeah.
So then I'm curious about fan reaction, being brought on as the girl, the other girl, which is actually the original girl.
Right, the original girl.
She's got a right to be there. But do you remember fan reaction, or how the fans treated you, or what it was like?
I've always had like a very mixed fan reaction from that show. Like, I mean, people still recognize me when I was still in Los Angeles like a month ago. I was out to dinner with a friend who had, you know, it was that time before the surge. So I was seeing people I hadn't seen in years. And I was out to dinner with a friend, and I came back from the bathroom, from the restroom, and these two girls were like, "Excuse me, we hate to bother you, but were you on the OC?" And I was like, "Yeah." So it's amazing to me how far reaching this show was. I mean, I know people, like my sister has three children, my younger sister, and her au pair was from Italy, and they were all huge fans of the show. And then one request to my sister was like, "Can we please meet your sister?" And they're very young, you know, they're like 19, 20, that kind of age. So it's really sweet. It's always been the OC's always been like a very positive experience for me. Actually, I have to be honest, I never really had horrible experiences working. I think that I've been very blessed in that way.
Us too. My experience has been, especially on this show, it was such a fun job for me. And I did have a 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as you can see in this episode, I was only in one scene. So it's by comparison, somebody else standing next to me, Misha or Ben, they were working every single day, every hour. So yeah, there are times where it can be very, very exhausting. But there are times when I had episodes where I either was off or had one scene. And
you were in more than one scene in this episode.
Yeah, you were. I just watched it again this morning.
Yeah, he comes to your door and Tate clocks it, or Jimmy clocks it.
Oh, yeah. What am I talking about? I woke up this morning going, isn't that interesting? I only had one scene because, okay, you're so right. Here, now I'm having a Rachel moment.
Yeah, I know. We just flipped positions.
Yeah, there's the scene with Caleb, and then there's a scene with Chris. Yeah. And then there's a bunch of scenes.
Okay, everyone, forgive us. We are in it. For some reason, I was thinking as I was watching it yesterday that there was that first scene. And then this morning I was like, yeah, she was only in it for one scene. And I think so cut that one out. No, but there are times when I would only have maybe one or two or three scenes. So I was able to be at home with my daughter. And not be there every single day. When you look at that Day of Days, it's something called Day of Days, guys. And there's also a one-liner where it explains your scenes and then it explains the days. And every time I look at it, and I might have three, maybe four, maybe two, but then you see Ben, Misha, 8, because every episode took 8. And you're like, whew, well, that's, but yeah. I did that at 25. I was doing that same thing. So, you know.
You had a taste of it anyway. But lucky for you and CG. Not while she was 3. Yeah, well, so this episode, there's so much stuff that is happening. I mean, I really could not keep up, and I'm like writing everything down and like trying to cover it all because there is so much going on. Even like in the opening scene, and like, you know, Seth and Ryan, they're talking about Ryan's kiss with Teresa, which... Hello, you guys kiss very well, might I say. And
Adam is so funny to me in this episode.
He's always so funny. He's so self-involved in this episode, but that's kind of Seth's character, and like he definitely leans into that a lot.
Yeah, the thing is, I never really worked with him one-on-one, so then watching the show back, I was like, wow, he is so self-involved and like makes everything about him, but he does it in such a kind of sweet, charming way that you really like him. And I always rooted for you guys on the show. You're his character.
Thanks.
It was really sweet.
Yeah, it's very endearing, his self-involvedness. And both of us, his girls, so to speak, Anna and Summer, call him out on it.
Right.
So I like that he's being called out.
This opening monologue is just, you can just see, I just have a picture of Josh behind the computer or typewriter. I don't know what they were using back then, but just, this was just classic Seth monologue from Josh Schwartz in his script. And it's such a funny thing where he's saying, is she going to rent? Is she going to lease? Is she going to take the 55 to the 91? Is she going to do all this? And I was like, oh my gosh, remember SNL did the Californians where they started, they made fun of
Mindy,
the OC.
I said the same thing. I wrote the same thing down. I'm like, was this actually the beginning of the Californians from SNL? Because right? There's a whole skit about when you're in LA, like how many freeways, take the 405, whatever. It's like a famous skit right. from SNL. And I wrote the same thing. Yeah. I'm like, I believe we did the Californians before it was the Californians.
But Josh was so... He could see. I mean, I do that. I grew up in Orange County. You're from Malibu as well. But I literally will say I'm going to take this freeway to that freeway. It's real. That's the way we talk. But then I thought about it and I was like, Rachel, when they start making fun of rewatch podcasts, what are they going to do? It's going to be, let's rewatch our show. Aren't I great? Aren't you great? We're so great. It holds up.
You know what else was really funny in this whole beginning thing? It's so like, okay, let's take us back to this time period. Because Seth is like, was it like Madonna Britney or like Madonna Christina? Mm-hmm. And like everyone remembers that from, what is it, the Grammys or MTV Awards, whatever, where they make out. But I was just like, oh my God, that transported me right back to like 2003, 2004, whenever that was with that kiss. And I was like, holy shit, that was so long ago. And I just thought it was such a funny reference of the time.
It still holds up. Like I said, everything holds up because it's still famous, right?
It is.
Especially now with everything that's going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like even more so.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then what I thought was so funny was that Teresa shows up to take Ryan to school. Then Marissa shows up to take Ryan to school. And I'm like, why is everybody like arriving at like 7 a.m. like fully like, hey, I'm here and I'm going to take you to school. Like I just thought that was pretty bold that people are up and over there by like 7:30 in the morning and all of this is like unraveling.
But I thought it was like Marissa's claws came out. Like, what? Why? Because I go to school with them and I live here.
I felt that. I remember recording that scene. And I remember when she said that to me, I was like, oh, God.
Like you felt it. Yeah.
Really just, I'm pissed. I was like,
you could see it on your reaction. You were like, oh, dude, I shouldn't be here. Like, this is so awkward. And like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I know. She was like, oh, well, I gotta go. Anyway, I feel you on that. I like the scene with Luke and Marissa because you kind of see that they still have a relationship and he's playing guitar under the tree. And I'm like, oh, there's Carmack with his music again because he actually is a musician. And I guess I never realized it while we were filming that how much they played into that with Chris.
I didn't either. I only realized it when I watched Nashville that I was like, oh, wow, he's super talented. I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. And now watching it back, you're like, oh. He's playing the guitar again. Yes. It was very sweet.
I love the next scene with Seth Summer and Anna eating lunch together.
Oh, yeah.
Because this Rachel, this is you to me. It just, I think I've stolen some of this stuff where she's like, I know. Totally. I know. Sorry, not that dumb. Just shallow. Just your delivery to me is you.
Probably me at 21, for sure. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, it just... Yes. I don't know. But the I know sounds like Monica from Friends. I mean, it keeps coming up, these Friends references. Because Monica's like, I know!
Right? Well, I think we all as actors, don't we... We see things that we like, and I don't know about you, but I steal. Or if I see a line and it just inspires or it reminds me of an actor of a way they delivered something similar, I'll throw it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a form of flattery, right?
Yeah, I definitely see a similar. I didn't watch tons of Friends, but I definitely see similarities between you and Monica, Rachel, for sure. I mean, between Summer and Monica.
You know, considering Monica's my least favorite character, I don't know how to take that. But I definitely did take some things, like the I know. I'm just kidding.
Her and Phoebe were my favorite.
Phoebe's is my favorite, like the most, like laugh out loud. Yes.
Yeah,
she's so awesome. I mean, Lisa Kudrow, because the comeback, I know I'm like totally going off on a tangent, but the comeback is like one of my favorite shows of all time. And
I agree, in that first season,
I'm just like, I mean, it's just anyone should watch it who wants to see, like, acting in its finest. I fucking love her.
Yeah.
Also, we learned that Anna is moving back to Pittsburgh. This is where she drops the bomb. And I have to tell you, as you know, I get very into the characters and what's happening on screen and everything. And, like, how affected Seth is. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I mean, I get it, but it's, like, so over the top because it's how he really feels. And we get into, like... when they say goodbye, and I did cry, but I'm just like, what is happening here? Here we go again. Now, like, what's happening with Seth? We'll get into
that. I thought Summer played it pretty cool.
I do too.
I give props to her. But I mean, yeah, Summer, you tell him how self-absorbed he is. Even Anna tells him how self-absorbed he is, right?
For sure. He needs to be called out, and I'm happy we do that. And then
Ryan and Teresa, they're in the car.
Mm-hmm. It's very cute. Yeah. You guys are very
just
cute.
Just quickly, Rachel, I love the way that you responded to him throughout that whole episode. I felt like it was like very understanding and
thanks.
Yeah, that aspect of like when you kind of get past, I mean, I don't even, is that before or after your kiss on the stand?
That's after. It's like pretty soon after that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I felt like this was that moment where like you really become like a supportive real girlfriend, as opposed to like, you know, you go through that stage in the beginning where you're like jealous and all this stuff. But I felt like that was when you're like, so go after her. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, I was actually impressed with Summer too, that she was like, go after her. But you can see her after he actually goes. She's like, oh, well, you know, like,
yeah,
what are you going to do? But I was.
No, it shows her strength and confidence and trust. And
It does. And that's very big of a 16 or 17 year old, because it took me many years to learn how to be that supportive girlfriend without being like jealous or insecure or whatever it is. So it was big of her. Yeah. There's a lot of adult things going on with these teenagers, just like you and, you know, a job and finding a place to live and like all these things. And you're like, most teenagers aren't thinking about this stuff.
On Instagram, I asked for fan questions, and that was one of the ones that of course they want to know who you think the baby daddy is. But one of the questions was, do you think that it was, somebody said, is it appropriate for teenagers to have this storyline? And I said, absolutely. There are plenty of teenagers that are in a situation where they don't finish school and they have to find employment, or it's an age old story. But I do think it's interesting that, you guys are dealing with these very adult themes and problems that, you know, are just, you shouldn't have to be, as Sandy pointed out, right? You should be in school. But
right.
How did you like, feel playing a teenager?
Yeah.
Did you feel engaged,
by the way.
Yeah, I watching it back, I was like, it really helped me that Teresa was so different from me in every way that it really helped me to play the character, I feel like. However, in retrospect, now watching it back, I really felt that many of her decisions were very, very misguided.
Yeah.
Like getting engaged, kind of coming to the OC even, and, you know, it's staying at that motel. It's just, the whole thing is just like, I can't imagine. I mean, being a mother now, like, I would never allow my daughter to do that.
Right. But, you know what I really liked was when you're in the, I know we're going all over, but when you're in the hotel and he like invites you to the man of the year party, right? And you're like, you just want to make sure like it's not that he's embarrassed that to bring you there, you know? And I just really liked that scene, like how you played it. Cause then you were like, no, it's cool. Like, I don't actually want to go. I just want to know that you're okay with me being there with you, you know? And that was also very mature. There's like all these mature relationship things going on in this episode. And even that, like as a teenager, just be like, no, I just wanted to make sure like you're not embarrassing me and I can be there, but I don't want to go. And you don't want to go.
And but she's clearly still is in love with Ryan.
Oh, of course.
That's why she's there, right? Yeah. And it's not just, and then at the end, you know, having to make the decision, well, I know we're jumping around, but having to make that decision, like, this is never going to work. That's a very mature decision, or whether it's, and I don't know if she's settling or if she's making that, you know, it's just very mature.
When I watched it back, I think it was that moment where she sees him in the pool and like everything that her life has caused him in that moment, that kind of the culmination of what she's brought back to him from their hometown, and he's in this different place now and he's living a much better life and he's not, you know, in an abusive home with kind of delinquency all around him. And I think in that moment she realizes like she needs to get out of there and let him.
You can see that. Like you played that so amazingly, because you can see it on your face. And what we're referencing is when Eddie, your fiance, shows up to the man of the year party and they get in a fight because of you, and he punches him, and Ryan winds up in the pool, black eye and all. And yeah, and you see this, and you're like, you know, it's like transplanted from Chino into this beautiful Man of the Year party in Newport, and like all of this stuff unraveling. And it was a very pivotal moment, I feel like, and you played that awesome. So
thank you.
Yes, compliments to you.
Hey, just a funny little side note. When in that scene where he asks you to the party, I couldn't help but notice, you know, Ben takes off his shirt and we talk about self-tanner. And so I texted Cindy, our makeup artist, and I asked her if she painted his abs. And she said, yes, that was a definite affirmation.
Oh,
she
did man. Paint the abs. I wrote down after, I was like, damn, but he like, didn't Ben need it. Good. Yeah. Like, he took it off. I was like, all right, Ben, look at you. I actually commented. I was like, he looks good. All right. Well.
Just little tidbits of what our makeup department does.
Look good. He looked good without the painting, though. Let's be
honest.
He
didn't need it. Yeah.
He did not need it.
But that's what they do.
That is what they do. Shailene Woodley also shows up again in this episode.
I know. I couldn't believe that. I had no idea she was on the show.
Yeah. Oh, really?
How cute.
I had no idea.
How cute.
Well, because I remember...
On Valentine's Day 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country, and even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
And Willa?
Yes, Willa Holland. Right. Who, yes,
yes.
Comes in later.
So that's who I remember because we know somebody in common and they told me she was doing the show. So I had no idea that Shailene Woodley was in the show. And she was darling. She's so cute. She was so cute.
So
and I think
cute.
She's a wonderful actress now. I'm a big fan of hers.
Yeah, she's so
this
cute, though. Flirting with Luke at the door, like, Mom.
Yeah, this may be her most, I mean, character-driven, even though it was small, character-driven scene. Her hair is a little bigger. And she's playing that this crush on Luke. And it's super cute. Yeah,
super
cute. Very cute.
Oh my gosh. It's
and when
super
in this
cute.
Scene, when you bring up DSL, of course, my first thought is not what it actually means. I don't know growing up what DSL meant in your school, but I won't say it here.
Really? I don't know what that
means. Yeah, but DSL, you're referring to some kind of Wi-Fi hard drive situation.
Well, and also he's here to defrag my hard drive. I mean, how
like
would Julie
defrag?
It must be that's a dated, that dates it as well, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
Your happily ever after is waiting for you in the Chrysler Pacifica and Pacifica plug-in hybrid. With available all-wheel drive, Pacifica helps handle adverse conditions like magic. And with a plug-in hybrid, it can help your range anxiety disappear. Make your drive even more enchanted in the Chrysler Pacifica and watch Disney's Disenchanted, now streaming only on Disney Plus, rated PG. Disney Plus subscription required. Must be 18 plus to subscribe. EPA estimated 520-mile total range with a fully charged battery. Actual mileage may vary.
You guys really didn't have DSL? No one used that in school? The boys?
I did.
No, but like what I'm saying, the acronym stands means. No?
No, I only know it as the hard drive.
Okay. I'll leave it to your imaginations. Okay. For the PG ears. Defrag. Okay, we have defragged. So I was very impressed with the perfect grill marks on the swordfish, personally. Sandy's making. Anyone?
I always pay attention to the props. You know, because of this podcast, I'm trying to pay attention to every little detail. And of course, they don't have real, it's not a real grill with real smoke. They do these little, I don't know what it is, like almost like an incense type thing that right. burns for the camera. Right. And it's always like, yes, I always try to give some props to our props.
Props to our props. Yes, that was props to our props. Point of that. Like, it looked very good. It looked very good.
Especially when it comes to the food on the show, because the Coens are such a food-focused family, I would say. So I noticed a lot of that detail. I actually watched a few episodes of the show, and so throughout I was like, wow, they did a really good job with all this stuff.
They did. You know what else I noticed, Navi, was there's a scene where I think it's with you and Marissa shows up. You don't say hey, you say hi. And on this show, all anyone ever says is hey, 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 hey. And we always like talk about that's all they say. You said hi. And I was like, thank you. We finally get a hi instead of a hey. I had to just say that.
Yeah.
Something funny. There's a couple of name references in this episode. Like Joel McEwen is used. That's Josh's actual lawyer. And there's a dog. Anna talks about her dog back in Pittsburgh named Swifty. Mindy, you remember Swifty, don't you? You would.
Who's Swifty?
Is one of Josh's best friends. Swifty.
Oh, cute. Right.
Yeah, so there's always all these names thrown in. Like, even when Volchuk comes, Kevin Volchuk is obviously Brody's agent, and his name was used in the show. So there's all these funny little name drops, and there were two of them in this episode.
That's cute.
Yes. Also, another thing I noticed, when Seth and Summer are on top of the car having that scene, and she gets really annoyed, and rightfully so, I'm wearing this blue ring, and if I remember correctly, I feel like it's like this really silly ring. I feel like maybe Adam had gotten it for me in real life, and I insisted on wearing it on the show, and because I noticed it, and I was like, yeah, it was kind of cute. Remember, like a little girlfriendism that I did back then.
So I do want to make a note of the other storyline that's going on. Is, you know, Caleb's getting Man of the Year in Riviera Magazine, which is a real magazine. I got to do a cover once, but some very beautiful pictures. But also that Caleb and Uncle Sean, we haven't mentioned this in our other podcasts, you know, this is some pretty dangerous, illegal stuff going on. And Kirsten is part of it now. And Sandy's trying to get them, you know, I guess get Uncle Sean off, so to speak, from this. And it's and really puts them, I love the Caleb Sandy dynamic and what they have to do and what Sandy ultimately has to do. And he does something illegal to help his family. You know, he is kind of that gold standard of morality, but it just shows, yeah, I don't know. There was something super satisfying about what he did to save his wife and his family, no matter how much you might dislike Caleb, right?
I felt bad for him in this episode. You know, I felt like, wow, that's a really tough, just as an adult now looking back, I was like, well, that would be a really difficult position to be in.
He's smart. Yeah. You know, when he actually says to Caleb, you know, explains that, you know, he got it fixed. You see the look of like, oh, fuck, kind of afterwards. Like, I just did something illegal.
Yeah.
And obviously it's going to somewhat turn out okay, but you know, Caleb's always doing stuff behind the scenes that nobody knows about. He's wheeling and dealing, and we'll find out more about that. But going to the school lounge when Eddie shows up accusing Ryan, nowadays, a guy who looks 25 walking into a private high school in a lounge, that wouldn't happen too quickly. I don't know if it would happen ever, but it was definitely like a fish out of water. He pushed his way in there, and it was a very uncomfortable scene.
Yeah.
Eddie's scary. Eric Balfour did a good job.
Yeah, he did. I agree with you, Rachel. He is scary. I mean, in the show.
Yeah.
His character was scary, and the violent kind of nature of him, that there's like a there's like an underneath kind of feeling of a lot of aggression, a lot of anger, a lot of pent up rage. And so it was, I remember shooting that scene at the pool when they punch each other and just being so, feeling so uncomfortable, just being like, this is not safe.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised Eddie didn't run up into the motel when you guys turn off the light. He drove away.
Yeah, that's a real, that was a real stalker scene. I was like, wow.
Yeah, yeah, like close up on his face and he's like tearing up and then just like speeds out of there. I was like, ooh.
Well, I think there's a part of it that makes me feel bad for Eddie. I mean, later on, we find out some things that aren't so, you know, I don't feel so bad for him. But at the time, it's like, yeah, I kind of understand, but...
I like how there's like the candles lit in the window. Like if you didn't know that they were having sex, you do now.
I know. And then it's funny. I was watching that scene. There's like normal candles and then there's like Catholic candles. I was like, this is a little confusing to me. I feel like the religious candles are meant to be burnt on different occasions than what they were doing.
Yeah. You're like probably not what intended for.
Yes.
Very funny. Yeah, but he did a really good job. We had so many, like yourself, Navi, like just amazing guest stars, and everyone just brought it. And in this episode, you see it very, like, apparently with you and with Eric Balfour and everyone else.
But Teresa was just such a wonderful addition to the cast because you had this very subtle, like, we keep saying maturity, and just such the antithesis from these Newport kids that were... doing whatever, you know, self-involved, South Coast Plaza, or it's just, there was a lot of reality to the character and so much humanity. And it was something that I think the show needed. So it was a wonderful addition. It was a wonderful addition.
Wonderful addition. Also, you know, Samira did a really good job in this episode.
Yeah, she did. I cried at that last scene.
I did too.
I watched it and I was like,
they did so good. I cried when Summer said bye to her. Like they had that little moment at the party. I teared up
because
I was like, that's really sweet. And
it was.
But yeah, the scene at the airport when Seth goes to stop her because he has to know, you know, his letter, she left a letter and Ryan obviously had it in his pocket, but he got punched and wound up in the pool. So the letter was ruined and he's trying to like decipher what she said, thinks she says, I love you. But it was Adam Brody and Samira Armstrong both in that scene I thought were fantastic and I felt it and I cried and it was so sweet. And it wasn't like you felt like, oh, he's in love with her, but like he really loves her. You know, or like maybe you question it a little bit, but it was more like you're my best friend is kind
of
the vibe.
That's what I felt from it, too.
Yeah. And I just thought they did so awesome. And I absolutely cried.
And I think that that whole airport scene, I think is a, you know, it's a classic almost John Hughes airport scene with
Especially with the song. Yes.
And then
if you leave.
So it's an OMD song that Alex
Pitsavas, our music supervisor.
He was a fan of Not a Surf, and I don't know exactly why they asked them to do the cover, so they did it for the show, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah,
so
there
cool.
was a very...
Although I will say, Anna, when Seth shows up, she leaves all her stuff on the like security belt.
I know.
They would have gone.
I noticed that too.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, you can't do that. All these little things. But it was still there and she kept her place in line, which is also television magic.
But I also love the Seth Anna scene though before when Lack of Color of Death Cab is playing and he totally wants to know why she's leaving and she gives all of the reasons of Pittsburgh and that's Josh doing that research of, he's like, oh, I'm learning something about Pittsburgh and they're probably famous cultural things. And it's just, and she's wearing such a cute outfit. I mean, we keep wondering if the costume designer was putting that there and she put it together, but, or had a say in her wardrobe as well. But it just, ultimately, it is about him too, right? It really is. But you can see the sadness that it just didn't work out. And I believe her. Do you believe her at the end that it wasn't so much about him? I think it was too. I think he's right a little bit.
I think it was about him, but I think it was both. I really do. I get that feeling from just...
Yeah. He pushed her to want to go home to like visit, and she visited because she was like, I got to get out of here. And then being home, she was like, I mean, clearly Seth is the outsider in Newport. Anna is basically the female version of Seth. So she's there and she's like, I'm totally the outcast too. And then not having him in the way she wants him probably motivated the move for sure.
But she's also the voice of reason. She always has these beautiful, positive affirmations like, you deserve a great life. But she said two things that are really important. She said, we don't have chemistry and I'm lonely. Boom. I got to go where I'm loved. And that's once again a voice of reason, or the sage wisdom, as Seth said. What am I going to do without you? And I really believe in that's genuine. And he's like, what am I going to do without my conscience? She's almost the conscience that helps lead him down the right path. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Old wise one, Anna. Let's see. Anything else in this episode that stuck out to us? I'm looking. I'm reviewing. Yum Yum Donut shirt. That definitely stuck out to me, that I'm wearing a Yum Yum Donut shirt.
I love that shirt.
I know.
Yes.
It's great. Like, if I had that shirt, I would totally wear it now.
Yeah. And they're eating In-N-Out, which is also a nice little Southern California compliment.
I don't know why I forgot this earlier, guys, but it's kind of funny. But when Luke flirts with Julie and Tate clocks it.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Tate's great in that scene.
I know. I was like, does Jimmy know? Because at that point, you know, and I see him clock it, I'm like, oh, shit, does Jimmy know? And then, of course, yes, because he comes up and he confronts you about it. And you were like,
right.
What are you talking about?
He was like, and he confronts, and, you know, of course, Luke just said, it's just your ass. I definitely blush at those things. But
that's so funny, though.
But no, Tate. Sorry. It's so funny. I have to, we do a breakdown of our show here on our document, and it's written that Tate clocks it, not Jimmy.
But they both did. Let's Jimmy. Be honest. They both did. Yeah. I mean, it's so apparent, but I love, you know, you played it very well as well, Mindy. You were just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
I would never do that.
And then Caleb comes full circle and he wants you to feel appreciated.
Yeah, she's going to make him beg.
You're appreciating something else right now, if I do say so myself.
But then, but then you guys, okay, so then there's the moment, you know, Anna leaves. She's a goodbye girl. And then we have our other goodbye girl. It's Ryan's turn when he runs to Teresa's room at the Mermaid Inn, and she's gone.
Yeah.
And then you have Ryan and Seth eating pizza, discussing their girls leaving, which is kind of this bromance scene.
Yeah, and also I think it's Brody Improvs at the end when they're like, what do you think Luke's doing? And he's like discovering fire, and he's like talking about hunting and gathering and like all of that. I feel like that's definitely a Brody move. It was really funny. He's very funny. Wait, you know what we didn't really say though? And I have to say this because we didn't talk too much about Marissa in this episode, but Summer gives the speech to Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, like she has a good heart. And then she shows up that she came to your room, you know, and got Teresa ready for the party. And you're seeing like she does have a big heart, you know, and I felt for Marissa a lot in this episode. We just didn't really talk about that much. But
it's also human beings make mistakes, and you can see her actually reflecting on those mistakes and growing from them. That's what life is about. And she's putting one step, she's not curled up in a fetal position saying, oh, woe's me, Ryan doesn't want to be with me. She's actually trying to understand life a little bit. And unlike Teresa, who says, whoa, I just made Ryan's life kind of complicated, Marissa does some of these things and doesn't really feel the full impact of what happens to everyone around her, whether it be in Tijuana or the Oliver stuff. So she's having some self-reflection here. Which is endearing, I think.
And she's kind too to me in this episode, I felt, you know, like except for that little snap about taking them to school. It was kind of her to bring the dresses.
It was
kind of offer an olive branch to
me
in that way.
She comes around and she's also showing maturity at a young age. Yeah. So the underlying theme of this episode is how all of us teenagers.
I like that she actually says, you know, I'm used to getting what I want, and I know that's not attractive, but I'm not getting what I want now. And, you know, that's like, like I said, that's just a human being reflecting on, yeah, that's life.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. But all in all, I thought, you know, it was a very touching episode. A lot of like heartfelt stuff, a lot of tears. And it's hard to say goodbye sometimes.
Sometimes
it's hard to say goodbye. But Teresa, we see Teresa again. Spoiler alert. So
yeah.
Navi, we have some quiz questions. Do you feel up to the task?
Yes.
Okay. Who is Anna going to live with in Pittsburgh?
Her aunt and uncle.
Very good.
One more. Let's see. What job does Ryan jokingly point out to Teresa in the classified section?
Something about she wouldn't look good in the hat. I can't remember, but he says something and she's like, I don't think the hat would fit me. Or
it's a forest ranger.
So yes, hat, yes. Right? Yes. You're on your way.
I couldn't remember.
There you go.
And what food does Caleb hate?
Cilantro.
Yeah, cilantro. I feel like cilantro is such.
People,
yes.
I know, Rachel, right?
Yes, like they cannot, like if there's any cilantro even near me, I will throw up. Like it's very intense, the hate towards it's cilantro, if you actually don't like it.
It's a scientific thing, like that the third of the population, it tastes like soap to them.
Yes,
so
that's true.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
love cilantro.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah. Or coriander, as some may say. Coriander.
Exactly. Seed. I'm half awesome. Indian, so I grew up with it my whole life. So for people not liking it, it's very weird to me.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. Very strange. But on that note, we were so happy to have you here with us, Navi. And
Thank you so much.
And oh, it's so good to see you guys.
You too. And you did such an amazing job on the show. We were so happy to have you be a part of it. And like I said, I keep rooting for you and Ryan as I'm watching it. And all the fans out there will probably kill me. But yeah, you did so awesome. And thank you for being here.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I have such fond memories of the show. I always want to thank Josh and Stephanie for giving me the opportunity.
They'll definitely hear it here and we'll relay that.
Okay. Thank you,
so
Navi. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Nice seeing you all.
You too.
Nice to see you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Rachel, I think it's that time of the show where we should listen to some fan questions. We have a really special guest, a super fan, who's I think a particular super fan of yours.
Oh, let's meet her.
Yeah. Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody, we have the fabulous, beautiful Sheena Shea joining us today, who is a super fan. And you all know her from Vanderpump Rules and her podcast, Shenanigans. So welcome. It's so nice to meet you. I totally watch Vanderpump. All the time.
Oh my God. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. It's so nice to meet you. We're so happy to have you here. I have heard about you and seen you. You're so beautiful and congratulations on your new baby. That is so awesome.
You. Thank you. I want you to meet her.
Oh my God. We would love to meet her. I'm baby
Little
obsessed.
Summer. And look, I've had this sweatshirt for literally for like a decade, and I've just been waiting for a perfect moment to.
Oh my gosh, there she is.
Oh my gosh.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, Little Summer. Oh my goodness. Okay, so everybody listening, Sheena has a sweatshirt on that says Seth and plus Summer, and she has the most adorable little girl in a beautiful yellow bow and matching dress. Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
How old is she?
She is 9 weeks.
Oh my gosh, how are you doing?
I'm so good. She's sleeping like 6-7 hours right now. She's a little angel.
Wow, you're so lucky. That's awesome. She's beautiful.
Yeah. Her name was inspired by Rachel's character on the OC.
I can't tell you. I am so flattered and honored, and I think that is so cool. I have to meet her in person and give her the biggest little
100%.
Hug and smush her.
So this is my little Summer.
But wait, she has quite a long name. What is the full name?
Yeah, so it's Summer Moon, and then her two last names are Honey Davies.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. That is so precious. Yeah. Oh, you're making me want to pop a baby out. I just can't. So sweet.
You can borrow her for cuddles anytime.
I will. I will That's take awesome. You up on that.
So you must have been so young when the show came out. Were you
high school? Yeah, it was like high school and college.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, so it kind of defined those years, huh?
100%. I remember because this was like pre-DVR. And so like I had to make sure I was at home in time to watch The OC. And there was one episode specifically. I remember I got home late from the mall and I was so upset. And I was like 20 minutes late. And it was the one where Luke finds out like his dad is gay. And I was like, wait, what happened? I missed so much. I had to wait for it to come out on DVD and buy the box set just to watch that episode so I could see what happened.
No way. Oh my God, that's so funny. When you talk about like no DVR or whatever, it reminds me of when I was a kid and 90210 was on and they told me who Dylan picked in the commercial break. I was so pissed. Sorry.
That's oh my like God. Separate. Yeah, no, I watched that growing up too. I was probably a little young for it, but my mom watched it and yeah, I loved that.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Really fun.
Yeah. That's a big, that Luke's dad's situation was a big one to miss.
I know. So there, I like remember they were like at like the car shop or something. And I was like, wait, what is going on? Like I just missed 20 minutes of this episode. And yeah, I vividly remember that. It was my favorite show that I watched. And I just always just loved Rachel's character. And I was like, when I have a daughter one day, I'm going to name her Summer.
Oh, my gosh. That is so
20
sweet.
Years later. Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. This is literally like a dream come true. I was talking to Danny Pellegrino, and he said to tell you hi.
Aww, yeah,
we were
him.
Saying, if there's ever like a Vanderpump Rules movie, he's like, who would you want to play you? And I was like, well, if it was like a young Sheena, I would say like Selena Gomez. But if it's like Sheena today, 100% Rachel Bilson.
Oh,
like there's no one else I would want.
Oh my God. Well, thank you. I'm just very touched and flattered.
I have a question for you. How is it with is it a completely different cast or some, not obviously not everyone.
There's definitely some new people. They bring new people on every season, like the new girls at Sir, but it's still the core group of us who, yeah. So it's like James, Raquel, Tom, Katie, Tom, Ariana, Charlie, Lala. And then my boyfriend has quite the big part this season.
Oh,
so you'll see a lot of him.
Wow. Yeah. Is your baby on the show with you? Do you
show
her?
She is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
They have like crazy rules with like infants. So they can only film her for like 20 minutes at a time.
Right.
And like not at night. So you'll definitely see little bits and pieces of her.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I've always wondered, so the reality side, you still have the same rules that apply to us when we're shooting, correct?
Yeah, it's all the same filming rules. I think they're a little more lenient when it's reality because she's with me. And like, if I just like I'll nurse her in scene if I have to. So we can kind of go a little longer than those 20 minutes if it's something like at home during the day, she's comfortable and she's fed. But yeah, the rules with infants are crazy. We couldn't film the first 2 weeks with her because she was too young.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of cool that you'll have it documented, though, seeing her this young, you know?
Oh, totally. I love it.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Well, Sheena, here you have some questions for us. I don't know.
I have a few. I was really curious because I did acting for so long. And whenever I would see like a role I auditioned for or a scene that I did, it was so interesting. So I wanted to know, what were your auditions like? And was it a scene that actually made it in like the pilot or a different episode?
Yeah. Mindy, do you want to go first or do you remember yours?
Well, I auditioned for Kirsten first and it was one of the scenes where they were, Sandy and Kirsten were disagreeing outside of the front of the house after he had wet hair from surfing. So I auditioned for that scene and I thought I did particularly well, but then there was because there was no dialogue for Julie. So then I came back and read a scene that did not make it into the show at all. Actually.
Really?
Oh.
But it was definitely Julie was primping in a mirror, of course, and being kind of snarky to Jimmy. So I don't remember the scene, but yes.
Yeah, I think the one I do remember because Josh Schwartz, like we talk about this, the reason I got the role is because I made him laugh when I'm like, I gotta pee. You gotta pee or something, whatever. I say something like that. And it was the scene in the pilot that they're at the party and Summer has to go pee. And I know that that was one of the audition scenes. And I'm thinking there wasn't much to it. It was literally just like one line having to pee, but it made him laugh. And I think that's what's sealed the deal. But other than that, I don't remember what else there was.
Wasn't much. Yeah. I don't think there was a lot of dialogue for Summer or Julie in the pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you both got bigger roles as the show continued. I was listening to one of your podcasts yesterday, actually, and you were saying that your first dog's name was Penny, and then you made it Penny Lane.
I did.
And my cat's name is Penny Lane.
No way.
Yeah, aww. I've had her for 12 years now.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's so crazy. Just like another little thing. And
all these namesakes.
Yeah, in that same episode, you were saying how you loved Dirty Dancing as a kid. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend, he did the Dirty Dancing move with me the second night we ever hung out. He was like, watch me. I can do this Dirty Dancing move. I was like, no, you can't. No way. And he's like, okay, run to me. We're at a music festival. He does the Dirty Dancing move. And then when we came down, that's when we had our first kiss.
Are you kidding? I just got chills.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, I'm having a baby with this man.
Yeah, you're like, that's what sealed it for sure. Wait, I can't believe you did that.
The one.
That's not easy to do. Because you have to have like your core like strong enough to like get up there and hit. That's pretty impressive.
We actually ended up doing it again at our maternity shoot because he was like, no, we need to have like one of those pictures of you pregnant. And I was like, I don't know if this is safe. We're like in the ocean in Hawaii. So it wasn't our usual, but...
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's a really cool photo. She just showed us the photo of them doing the Dirty Dancing lift for those who were listening. Very, very cool.
And then my last question was, what was your favorite or most memorable scene you filmed out of all four seasons?
Favorite or memorable? Mindy, do you have one?
Well, oh my gosh. Actually, because I'm sitting here with you, Rachel, the scene in the wedding, in the finale. Was that the finale, the wedding?
Oh gosh, you know I don't remember that. I have to watch it.
Do you remember when you gave me the locket?
I do. I got married to Seth. I remember.
Not that. You were thinking of my first wedding.
Yeah, there's so many weddings.
But there's a really lovely, I mean, it's not a big spectacular scene, but there's a great scene between Summer and Julie where you give Julie the locket of Marissa. And I say, Summer, you're a good girl. You deserve so much. Don't just, you know.
Well, geez.
Do you remember that? And I was pregnant.
No, I don't remember that.
You thought I was pregnant in real life.
I did?
Yeah, you were like, Mindy, I was going to say. And I'm like, I've just been eating a lot more pizza.
Oh, my gosh. No way. For me,
I love that.
Yeah, this, I don't know. The Spider-Man kiss was, I just remember it because it was, you know, memorable.
Yeah. Jeez,
I'm really good today, guys. You know, I remember it because it was memorable. It was, you know, kind of complex to shoot. So I actually remember doing it. And it was just a fun, you know, thing, like throwback to Spider-Man. Yeah.
I guess I'll say that. I remember that scene as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, such an epic, iconic show that I was a fan of for so long and, yeah, inspired my daughter's name. So I just could not wait to one day like be able to get that information to you. And when I heard Danny was doing your podcast, I was like, you have to tell her. I was like, she probably doesn't know who I am, but just like tell her that one of your friends named their daughter after her character.
Aww.
And then when I got the offer to do your show, I was like, stop it. So excited. So
no, we're so happy you did it. And Danny's the best. And of course, when he said that, of course I knew who you were. I remember like reading about you because I worked with Eddie Cibrian like a few years ago and your name was like tied to that. And that's why I was like, oh, of course I know who she is. So there's a funny little connection there. But
I thought that too.
I want to say so many congratulations to you and your baby and your boyfriend because I've watched your show and I know that you've been through some difficult times with pregnancy, so that could not have been a better, bigger gift than that. So, so happy for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I know.
She's such a blessing. Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations as a
new
mama.
Thank you so much.
So
Thank
cool.
you.
Thank you.
So that conversation with Sheena was a few months ago, and since then, if you're following her, you may already know that she got engaged. Congratulations to her boyfriend, Brock. So we obviously want to congratulate her on that.
And if you're a fan, like me, of Vanderpump Rules, get excited to tune in to their season 9 premiere a week from today, September 28th at 9, 8 Central.
Yes, for sure. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Remember to follow, rate, and review Welcome to the OC Bitches wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like to watch us, check it out on YouTube and now on HBO Max.
Close your eyes. It's time to discover what starting and growing your own business feels like. Whether your business is bedsheets or skincare, Shopify's with you every step of the way. Now, open your eyes. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/podcast22. Shopify.com/podcast22.
Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I'm a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous. I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh.
And I'm Rabia.
But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of, obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Khalif Browder.
Elisa Lam, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No. We're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.